Good morning. Well, I would invite you just to kind of meditate on the words of this song. We're not going to have the words on the screen for you, but my hope and my desire is that as you reflect on the words of this song, you're certainly welcome to sing if you know it. But as you reflect on the words of this song, the truth of this song, that perhaps you would, meditate on scripture that it makes you think of. This is called King of Glory. And I hope that it just allows you to draw near to the Lord here this morning, in your mind and in your spirit, as we reflect on His truth. Yes, the world will bow down and say, "You are God." Every man will bow down and say, "You are King." So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with You. Just want to be with You. King of glory, fill this place. I just want to be with You. I just want to be with You. Yes, the world will bow down and say, "You are God." Every man will bow down and say, "You are King." So let's start right now. Why would we wait? King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with You. Just want to be with You. King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with You. We just want to be with You. Oh, King of glory. Just want to be with You. We just want to be with You. So we'll sing hallelujah till You come again. We'll sing hallelujah till You come again. And we'll dance in Your presence till You come again. I'll sing hallelujah till You come again. King of glory, fill this place. I just want to be with You. We just want to be with You. King of glory, fill this place. We just want to be with You. We just want to be with You. Just want to be with You. We just want to be with You.
Good morning, people. Today, you're going to be a part of a special time here. But then any time that the church gets together is a special time. Any and every time, an opportunity that we have to get together is a special and unique time. And a time where we ought not to take it for granted. Where we have an opportunity to have things common. To have one mind and one heart and one soul pointed in one direction. Special when the church gets together. It's special when the Holy Spirit comes in among us. Amen. Hovers over this place. Causes our hearts to join with each other's heart. Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Moves among us. Shows himself to us. Quickens us to the presence of Jesus Christ. To the glory of God the Father. God reveals himself to us when we get together and asks us to do something. He asks us to respond to what he's leading and what he's teaching us in our time together. We get to come to church. We ought to want to come to church. We get the opportunity to come and worship in spirit and in truth this morning. Now, I want to welcome our members and our regular attenders this morning. I want to welcome you if you're a guest with us here this morning. If you're a guest with us, the bulletin that you've been given, the program, has a way that you can redeem the connection card for a special gift this morning. I'd encourage you to use that if you're a guest with us here this morning. Redeem that for that really nice gift that we have for you. So look at the special instructions there for you. Today's gathering is going to be different. And it'll be different in format. It's always different when we come together. But today's format is going to be different, a unique way of worshiping today. So what I need you to do is put aside what you think it's going to be like. I need you to put aside your 1-2-3 order about how everything's supposed to go. Because it's not going to go that way today. The format is completely and utterly different. As is always the case in this room, this altar is always open. Anytime we're in this room, this altar is open. Available for you as the Lord leads you to use. And so we say to you that this altar is open now. Ready and available to those that would like to make use of it. The Lord may have you come to an altar this morning. I say to you, respond accordingly. The Lord may come to where you are. I've been praying and trusting that that's going to be the case first and foremost, that he's going to come right there to where you are. But he may ask you to get up and go to an old-fashioned altar. And my prayer also is that you'd respond to him. His will be done. You're going to notice that the offering plates are at the altar this morning. We're not going to take a break, make a long march, and pass them up and down every aisle. If you have a gift for the Lord this morning, bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar. Bring your gifts to the altar this morning. Or have it sent to the altar if you can't get to the altar. Make a way to have your gift presented unto the Lord here at this place. I want to read one scripture, and we're going to get over into the program as we move down through here. I want you to just tune yourself up in readiness here this morning. In Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 29, Jesus says, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." You do realize that Christ Jesus took your place on the cross of Calvary. You do realize that he took your hell for you. You do realize that He made provision to cover every sin that you've had in your life. The ones you've committed this morning, what you will commit this afternoon, and those for the rest of your natural born days, He has paid and He has died and paid for. If you're saved, they're covered. If you're born again, they're covered. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, your sins are covered. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, your sin is all He can see. You are not covered. You are not clothed in the righteousness of God. You are in fact bare for Him to see. The songs and the scripture and the prayers that we'll be praying this morning are making an assumption. And the assumption we're making is that you're a child of God, that you're born again, and that you, along with us, with one heart, one soul, one mind, and having that play out in all of our strength, that we are going to love the Lord with everything that we've got. That's what this is designed and geared for this morning. So I say to you, follow along with everything that comes up this morning. Listen to the Lord this morning. Oh, sing when you got a song in your heart. Shout when you've got a shout. Amen when you agree. And have a time with the Lord that'll be a special time this morning. King of glory, come and fill this place. Amen.
I'd like to read Psalm 24 for you, a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be ye lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Amen. The Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, He is the King of glory. Selah.
The rocks will cry out, the oceans will roar, the mountains will bow to the name of the Lord. He is our God, He will be praised. The idols will fall, the strongholds will fail, every weapon that forms will shatter and fail. Our God, He is our faith. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. Yeah. The rocks will cry out, the oceans will roar, the mountains will bow to the name of the Lord. He is our God, He will be praised. The idols will fall, the strongholds will break, every weapon that forms will shatter and fail. He is our God, He is our faith. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. Lift up your head, fling wide the gates, break down the walls with a shout of praise. Lift up your voice, pull heaven down. Oh, sing like thunder, make His praises loud. Lift up your head, fling wide the gates, break down the walls with a shout of praise. Lift up your voice, pull heaven down. Oh, sing like thunder, make His praises loud. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. Lift up your head, fling wide the gates, break down the walls with a shout of praise. Lift up your voice, pull heaven down. Oh, sing like thunder, make His praises loud. Lift up your voice, fling wide the gates, break down the walls with a shout of praise. Lift up your voice, pull heaven down. Oh, sing like thunder, make His praises loud. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to the move of God. To the move of God. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. To the heart of God. To the heart of God.
Join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we recognize, Lord, that we've gone through a week in this world. And Lord, that there have been things of this world that we've traveled through that like dust have attached themselves to us. We recognize, Lord, the greatness of our sin. But we also recognize the surpassing richness of your grace. Lord, I confess to you, you know that I've sinned this week. That I'm imperfect. I'm an imperfect leader. Lord, that I've left things undone that I should have done. And Lord, that I've done things that I shouldn't have. And Lord, I also know that those that are sitting here before me have done the same. And so, Father, we come to this time in the week and we admit these things to you. In our weakness, we know that your strength can be shown. We confess that we've erred, that we've wandered from the way, and that you alone can change our minds and our hearts as we surrender this flesh to you. So, Father, this morning we come as a group, as a crowd, Lord, and we just simply throw ourselves into your loving arms with every bit of our imperfections, warts and all. Lord God, we throw ourselves into your arms, knowing that you know all about us and that you love us still. We invite your presence into this room. We invite your presence into our midst. We'd ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd break us of us so that we might praise you, so that we might love you with everything that is in us, all that we are. And we pray that in Jesus' name, and amen. Scott's going to put on the screen words to an old hymn. It's the chorus to an old hymn. And I'm going to go through the verses, and if you wouldn't mind standing with me and pray it, sing it as a prayer this morning. Sing that chorus when we get to it as a prayer this morning to the Lord, and that he might do this for us here in this place. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, lift it up, and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lift it up and make me whole.
I've been called upon to read to you the 116th Psalm, which is a Paschal Hallel, or a Passover Hallelujah. So it must be interpreted, at least in part, in the coming out of Israel, out of Egypt. But by extension, we can place ourselves in this narrative as well, because as we read, the Bible says, Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will take the cup of salvation in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, or church, I will sing. And then that key verse, verse 10, I believe, therefore I speak. I have a testimony for the saving power of Jesus Christ. The theme is a personal love fostered by a personal experience. And if I might just preface it by the words of the late Charles Spurgeon, he said in this psalm, we see the redeemed are answered when they pray. They are preserved in time of trouble. They are resting in their God and walking at large, sensible of their obligations, conscious that they were not their own but were bought with a price, and joining with all the ransomed company, able to sing hallelujahs to our God. Let me read. The psalmist writes, I love the Lord.
Amen.
Because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surround me. The pangs of Sheol lay hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Right.
O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem, in the midst of you, O church. I will call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, when it's so easy to praise you and be grateful when things are going well. But Father, it's another thing to praise you and be grateful when we suffer trials and afflictions. Just as Asaph of old, I didn't understand these things till I went into the sanctuary of the Lord, till I got into your word, did I understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver them all. And you, John, the Lord Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Lord, give us the fortitude of David when he confessed that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. And Lord, the faith of Job, though he lost everything, that you allowed Satan to attack him and lost everything he had, even his health, and he came out saying, naked came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then ultimately he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh Lord, to have that kind of faith, to realize that even when you have to chasten us because of our errors and our sins, you do it because you love us. And so even when death is imminent, the Apostle Paul tells us to live as Christ, to die as gain. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And then ultimately, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Father, we praise you in this, that we can be confident no matter what you allow in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to be reading out of Psalms 42 today. Before I get into that, just when I look at this and I start to dig into it and I see about Jeremiah lamenting, he's pouring out his soul. But in verse 5 and verse 11, he kind of stops, pauses, takes a deep breath of God, and who God is, and reminds himself that he serves a God who is working, living, and is still very much hands-on. And so as we're going through this and looking through him, pouring out his soul, just those ideas of stopping and just being refreshed by who God is and the fact that he's working in us and through us. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng, the lead in the procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from the mount of Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and all your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Thank you.
He said, don't waste time walking, so I jogged.
Did I do all right?
Okay. So, I apologize. I was tasked with following that, praying for us, that renewal, a refreshing and awakening. And I just have to share a little bit. But first, I want to say that I apologize. I use a lot of coaching and athletic references, but that's all I know. All right. It's been studied and proven that successful teams that have coaches that celebrate the success and harp on, oh, y'all did good, y'all are great, that's awesome, they quickly fall off. But the successful teams that have the coaches that say, hey, okay, good job, but now we need to fix this, and now you need to fix this, and now we need to fix this, they maintain that level, and they even improve from there. So my hope, and that's the way I coach at school, that's the way I approach just, you know, I have one gear. You know, I just do all things the same way. Celebrate what we're doing good. Now let's find where we can improve. Let's get better. As long as you're breathing, you need to be improving. God's got a job for you, all right? And I just thought of it, you know, it came to my mind this morning, and I just feel like it's applicable. Right now we're in middle school starting soccer, and I'm trying to talk to these guys about soccer. That ball's always moving, and I'm no soccer pro, but that ball's always moving. So if you're standing still, you're in the wrong place. And we can take that spiritually. If you're standing still, you're in the wrong place. I just want to go back in history. I like history, too. There was a Great Awakening, right? Jim, you might remember it. But there was a Great Awakening. But prior to that, there was a need to be awakened. In the 1700s, that the things began to become very, very formal. The passion for the things of God had begun to dwindle. It became, you know, so formal, not very personal. There was a hierarchy set up to the point where it even determined where you sat. If you weren't of a certain standing, you had to stay in the back or maybe in a balcony or outside in the foyer. You weren't, you know, you had to be of a certain standing to even that just determined where you sat. And so there were many people who felt shut out, and that began to affect the just the fire that was in the church just began to be snuffed out, and things became very rote. People became very detached emotionally from what they were doing. It just became much like a checklist. Then combined that with the idea that around that same time coming over from across the pond was this idea of this age of reason and logic, looking at things very scientifically. men began to downplay the role of God and use those scientific rules that he put into place, because he is not an author of confusion, but he put those rules in place, and they began to use those rules to try to explain him away. So those two things combined, our light got dimmer. Then came along men like John Edwards and George Whitefield and many others, but those are two of the most common known names that began to stir up fire, stoke flames that would eventually lead to this great awakening that we can refer to now. They went around very energetically emphasizing again the importance of Scripture, and that you are a sinner and what you deserve is hell. But by the grace of God and through Jesus Christ and that faith, that you can avoid that and earn something much better in its place. And they began to push this idea of it's a personal relationship, and they went out all over the place and began to reach those people who felt shut out, who felt like they weren't good enough to sit in here with everybody else, or were told that they weren't good enough to sit in here with everybody. And they reminded them, hey, the veil was torn after all. You can go straight to the Father, and you need to go and develop that relationship with them. And they went, and Whitefield, I looked up, there was, in 1 year, I believe it was 1946, he preached 350 sermons. Now, you don't have to be a math genius to figure out, they had the same number of years back then, I believe, same number of days in the year back then, right? So that tells me he wasn't, working for the weekend. No, he was working, so that gives you 15 days of rest, but I'm pretty sure he was probably traveling between all those, because he was going. People weren't coming, he was going, and he was taking it out there. And so I would like to fast forward to where we are today, and we have this blessing, which seems to be turning to a curse, of living in the freest and best country on God's green earth, and how that's made us weak. You know, an athlete doesn't have to work hard. They choose to work hard because they want the job. If you want the job, you're going to have to work hard. So God has given us a job. He's tasked us with something to do. Do you want it? If you want that job, you're going to have to work hard. We have many ways to occupy time available to us, unfortunately. And I know my family probably tired of hearing it, but we have these phones, we have these TVs, we have computers, and all of that could be used. Research, figure out research places, and use it to study, but we use it just to occupy time, right? We get on the Netflix and watch 4 hours of whatever, and then the next thing you know, it keeps sucking us in. And we feel like we deserve that because we work hard for 5 days. You know, I think I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I know in North Korea there's this group, and the best translation to English is it's called the Fisher's Men. And I know I've said it in Sunday school, but they get up in the morning and grab all their fishing gear and their bags and poles and nets and whatever else. I'm not a fisherman, so I'm not real familiar. And they get in their boats and they paddle out to that river that runs through there. And there's a couple of villages close by and up and down the river, and they all meet in the river, and they get out their binoculars and they look around, and someone that's in charge of of the group will determine when it's safe, and then they pull out their Bibles and they have a Bible study on the boats in the middle of a river, because if they're caught with a Bible, they'll be thrown in prison if they're allowed to live. And what's commonly the practice in North Korea is if they throw you in prison, they take your whole family. And yet they do it. because they understand the importance of God's word. And we live in a land with much more freedom. However, a sea turtle's life is worth more than a child's. You can wear a shirt that says "Save the Whales," but if you wear something like "Save the Babies," you'll be ridiculed, mocked, called a something-a-phobe. Just a few weeks ago, there was a mother who was sentenced and imprisoned for killing her two children, one almost four, and she was put in prison, and rightfully so. However, if she would have made that same decision 4 years earlier, it would have not only been accepted, but probably celebrated. In our age of science and enlightenment, we have rejected God and truth to the point where you can't even call boys boys and girls girls. Or you hate somebody. Just because you're born a male doesn't mean you are a male. How ridiculous is that? We have scientists that we're supposed to trust on climate change and all this whatever else, but they can't even figure out that there's a difference between boys and girls. It's ridiculous. We have leadership in our country without integrity, wholly dishonest, willing to say and act and do whatever it takes to stay where they are or maybe gain another rung up in power and standing. But we vote for them. Somebody put them there. So I would argue that we're in a time now, much like the 1700s, where we're in desperate need of an awakening. Discussed this morning, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
That's right.
So if my prayers are not having the effect, maybe I need to check and make sure that maybe they're not fervent. Do I truly desire what I'm seeking? Or maybe there's some unrighteousness in me I need to weed out. But then I go back to, I have to care enough to do that. I have to want the job. We live in a land where, honestly, you don't have to work hard. The government is willing to pay you just to breathe. You don't have to work hard. But if you want to be useful to the Lord, you're going to have to choose to. We should choose to work hard. We should work hard because we want the job. Like the athlete at training camp who's showing off for all these coaches to try to get hired. He works hard because he wants that job. We should work hard because we want the job. We want the Lord to use us. Here am I, Lord, use me. So that's my prayer this morning. I'm going to pray, but my heart's out there. I would love to see this church just be a beacon in this community. I'm going to start praying that the Lord would raise somebody up in leadership that would be just as obnoxious as those that are saying, if we don't fix our climate in 10 years, we're all going to die. I wish we would have someone just as obnoxious for the Lord up there that would say, you know what, it doesn't matter if we have 4 years. If we don't address this heart issue and get people saved, it doesn't matter how long they live. I would love to see somebody stand up in Congress with that heart. And that's what I'm praying for. But that person's going to have to come from somewhere. May even be in here. There's many of us, myself included, who have written off, be like, it's a swamp, it's a cesspool, a bunch of dirty rats. Somebody's going to have to go in there. And that's part of my prayer. But I'm going to pray that we would wake up. that the Lord would stir something up within us, and that it wouldn't be momentary, here for another 20 or 30 minutes, and then we go down to Bill Miller's and have our apple pie and go watch football and then get up tomorrow and do the same thing we've been doing for our whole life. But I'm going to pray that it would stick and that it would last, and that, yeah, you can go to Bill Miller's and eat all that, but then when you go to work Monday, something's different, and you're bold. We talked also about, and again, if you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a bunch. Talked about Paul's prayers. This man was in prison for being bold for the Lord, and his prayer wasn't, "Now, get me out of here," as we often do, going through a hard time. "Lord, get me out of this." He didn't pray that. He didn't even pray, "Lord, keep me safe." He said, "Lord, give me the boldness to keep speaking the truth. Give me the boldness to keep putting you out there." And so I'm going to pray for that this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, I just pray that you would help us to start with ourselves, Lord. Help me to be a man of integrity. Help me to be truthful with myself first. Help me to be honest in all my dealings, Lord. Help me to continually stoke that flame that's within me, Lord, that I would be bold, Lord, in every situation, Lord, that I would take advantage of every opportunity, Lord, and that I would pass that to my family, Lord, and if we would each commit to staying in your word regularly, Lord, if we could be a church of a bunch of individuals that would seek to strengthen that relationship with you, what could we start in this community? And maybe we could spread fire to this little town over here called San Antonio. Maybe we could get something noticed there, Lord. Just give us this desire, Lord, individually to just go out and make your truth known. Give us the strength, Lord. Give us the boldness. Give us the courage to not care what other people say, to not fear the persecution. Someone may look at me funny. So what? Help us to, again, once take our quiet time seriously. The reading of your word and the meditating and the studying of it. That we not just file it away to have knowledge for knowledge's sake, but that we would gain that knowledge and discern what you would have us to do with it, Lord, that we might go out and do what you would have us to do and put it to work in our lives, Lord. Again, Lord, just help us to be observant of those opportunities you put in front of us, that we not miss them. That we not miss an opportunity to share your word, your love, to witness, to be a light. And help it to continue, Lord. Help us to just truly, as the psalm my brother before me read, help us to truly have a thirst for you. And we'll thank you and praise you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on, brothers, to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
Morning. I've been asked to read out of Acts 24. And as I was looking into this and thinking about this and musing about this, Acts 24 is an account of Paul making a defense before the Roman governor, Felix. And I was thinking about this. I had the sudden realization, and I don't know why it took me so long to realize this, but that one of my favorite people in the New Testament is a convict. Paul was always in prison. And, you know, we talked about that today in Sunday school, how we are called to live in a manner worthy of our calling. That we are to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. That doesn't mean if we go to prison, we're killed, persecuted. We're to walk in a worthy manner for him because of all that he has done for us. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoyed much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation in every way and everywhere, we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg you in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among the Jews throughout the world and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything which we accuse him. The Jews also joined him in this charge, affirming that all these things were so." And when the governor nodded for him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up the crowds, either in the temple or in the synagogue or in the city. Neither can they prove what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And so I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards both men and God."
The story you just read is a story of a fella that gets called before the government, and the government, and he tells them he's not a troublemaker, and that he's not trying to instigate some kind of insurrection in the place of the with the people coming against the government. He makes it clear that he's on mission to be about God's business. Being a good citizen of our nation is a good thing. And it's a good thing to teach our children. We're at a point now where we're at a, how many times have we heard this term, a tipping point? We're at a place that's a dangerous place, where we're not teaching the morals and the things that need to be taught to be a good citizen of these United States. You see, Paul wasn't against it, but he says, first and foremost, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm not out here trying to stir up and get an insurrection started. He said, but I am trying to change things one person at a time. I've got a good conscience towards the government. I've got a good conscience towards men. I've got a good conscience towards God, you see. And this is where we find ourselves today. We're lacking and we're needing. And we need those things today. There you are.
To pray for our nation. And I know that we can talk probably all afternoon on the issues that our nation has and how we need a lot of prayer. One encouraging word before I start to pray, I want to just read out of Proverbs 21, verse 1. And it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Just remember, God's in control. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I just I thank you for an opportunity to come before you here, Lord. Lord, I consider it a privilege, Lord, to be able to bow my heart to you, Lord. God, I do know that that you're in charge. Lord, I just also want to thank you for the nation that I grew up in. Where my mom and dad could take me to church. Where me and my wife could go to church. Where we could take our kids to church and not have any persecution, Lord. Like Wes was talking about these men in North Korea, how they have to get out in the middle of a river to open the Bible. Lord, I just thank you for that we don't have to do that. God, I just want to praise you for that, but I also want to lift up our nation, Lord. And I know there's leaders, God, that don't follow you, Lord, that don't even think about you when they make decisions. Lord, they think about climate control, but they don't know you, the climate changer. God, and I just ask you to give them the discernment. I just ask you to help us to constantly, whether we agree or disagree, just remember to be lifting those leaders up to you and constantly be putting them before you, that you would give them the wisdom and the discernment, Lord, to make the right decisions, Lord, just to seek you. I ask you to help us as a nation to continually lift them up in prayer, Lord. Lord, I ask you to those that are in the media, Lord, and whatever media we use or the nation uses to get their information, whether it be TV or newspaper, magazines, internet, Lord, I just ask you to be with those journalists, Lord, and those people reporting, Lord, and give them a conviction, Lord, to tell the truth and just to be truthful and not to try to pull the wool over our eyes just for a vote or just to get us leaning in one direction. Lord, I just ask you to help them to be truthful. Once again, I ask you to help us as believers to continue lifting them up and to praying for them, Lord, that they would be truthful. Lord, I ask you, with all the armament and all the things that are out there today, I just ask you for our nation. I just ask you for a protection. Lord, I ask you to watch over our nation. God, we love this nation. We know that it was formed on you, Lord, and your principles, Lord. And I just ask you to protect it. Protect us from our enemies, Lord. Those out there that hate us. And a lot of the reasons they hate us is because we're known as a God-fearing nation. Lord, I ask you to help us to be that God-fearing nation. I just ask you to help us get our priorities right and focused on you, Jesus. I just ask you to help us be the people we need to be, Lord, and just protect us. Lord, even for generations to come, I know that just in the generations that I've been around, Lord, things have progressively gotten worse, Lord. And I just ask you for our children and our grandchildren, Lord, that you would just keep them strong in the faith. I just ask you to help us teach them. Help us to be examples to them and how they should lead and lead their families and follow you, Lord, and look to you, Jesus, for everything. God, there's so many laws and policies, Lord, that are put before us that, Lord, we know go 180 strictly against your word, Lord. And I just ask you to prepare hearts. Like was said before, Lord, put someone that's bold enough out there to start pushing back, start checking all these things. And not just because this is what I think or this is what I know, but Lord, I ask you for that person or those persons to be able to, this is what Scripture says. Lord, this is what your word says. That's why we don't kill a baby in a womb. That's why marriage is so sacred to us. And it's not because of what I say, but it's because of what you say, Lord. Lord, I lift this nation up to you. God, I just know that you're the only thing that can change it. Lord, I ask you to help us as Christians just to have that boldness and to be able to always point people to you and always realize, Lord, and let people know that it's because of you that where we're at today, Jesus. God, I ask you to help us to be bold, Lord, and I pray once again for the generations to come because I believe, Lord, if you don't take hold, that it's just going to get worse for them, Jesus. Lord, once again, thank you for your encouraging word that we know, Lord, when we get discouraged and we hear things that we just can't believe people would even think that way, that God, we know and we remember that you're in control. Thank you, Jesus. It's a privilege to worship and to pray. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
To be king, build my tower to the sky. So why do I try? You never asked me to be rich by the things that gold can buy. So why do I try? All you ever wanted was my heart, my heart, my sinful heart. To you, that's all that really matters. Why do I feel I have to reach, believe I have to rise, when you never said I had to climb these broken ladders? You never asked me to be complete, by myself find all I need. So why do I try? You never asked me to stand alone, face the struggles on my own. So why do I try? When all you was my heart, my heart, my sinful heart. To you, that's all that really matters. Why do I feel I have to reach, believe I have to rise, when you never said I had to climb these broken ladders? 'Cause all they do is take my eyes off you, make me forget the truth. When all you ever wanted was my heart, my sinful heart. To you, that's all that really matters. Why do said I had to climb? Oh, you never said I had to climb these broken ladders. Oh, these broken ladders.
There was a leper one time that said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." There were two blind men that followed Jesus one day, and they were crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he did. A woman with an issue of blood for 12 years touched the hem of Jesus' garment with a prayer in her heart, and he heard her. Samson came to the end of his life. Boy, did he make some mistakes. Plenty of them. And he came down to the last day, the last few minutes, and he said, "Oh, Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me." And he did. What's going on in your life today? What's your pain? What's your hurt? What's your heartache? What's your burden? What trial, trouble, tribulation are you traveling through today? What's the prayer that you have in your heart? What do you have that you don't want to just throw out there? But you need something. I tell you this morning that He's everything. He can do anything. He can heal. He can provide. He can strengthen. He can give hope where there's none. He may just be waiting on you to ask. He may just be waiting on you to ask, that's all. We're going to have our leadership, our men and our deacons come into the front of the church here this morning. We're going to offer a time of whatever you want to call it. Invitation, meditation, introspection. Put whatever fancy word you want to put on it, but here's the deal. Whatever you've got going on in your life or a touch to your life or whatever burden there is that you have this morning, I'd encourage you to bring it to an old-fashioned altar. You want somebody to pray with you, pray for you, pray for situations? These men are standing here ready and available. We already talked about the scripture that says that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. They're imperfect, I know them. But here's something else I know. They love the Lord. And they love you. They love you. You ought to hear them pray for you. They love you. And so now we're going to offer opportunity for a family to get together and do what a family does. Pray for each other. Maybe the Lord will have you bypass them and come get on your face at the altar today. That's between you and the Lord. But they're here for you today. Let's let Him have His way.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before Him. For He is Lord of is risen, for He is Lord of all. Yes, He is Lord of all. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you find. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus
scared of silence. It's that silence sometimes that we need. When we get rid of all the stuff that's going on, and where we can listen and hear what God's doing and what He's saying. I appreciate all the ones that have spent so much time and effort to make this morning a time for all of us that could be encouraging and uplifting, meaningful. I appreciate all the efforts that have gone into that. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time with you this morning. And the differentness of what we have and what we've been a part of here this morning. So I'm going to have these guys go back to their post. And thank them, appreciate them. And we're going to have one final number, if you will, I'm going to use it as a benediction today. I won't have anything that I'll bring after the girls come and sing this last number. I'm looking for something different than this old world. How about you? There's a lot of mess that we have to go through here and now. But there's coming a day There's coming a day when that old mess is not going to mess with us anymore. And I am absolutely looking forward to that. Now listen, today by the when they're done with what they're sharing with us today, I'm going to invite you and encourage you and shame you if you don't, to make your way before you leave the building. Come around through the front here. I've got some devotionals for you. And got a ton of them, and this is the title of the little booklet is The Christmas Code, and it's a devotional, and if you'll start tomorrow morning, you'll wind up about Christmas with it, okay? And it's just some reminders about what we ought to be thinking about from here to then. We ought to be thinking about it every day, but this will be a help for you, okay? So I want you to come by and get one for every one of your family, all right? I also want you at the same time to pick one up for the neighbor on your right and the neighbor on your left at in your neighborhood. And I want you to take those three copies. I want you to read the one, but I want you to make a trip to your neighbor and get that devotional into their house. Okay? So you got a little bit of homework here. Take you three copies, one for yourself, two to share. And if you got other people that are on your heart, that the Lord's laid on your heart, and you're not going to go throw them in the back of the car and let them ride around till next Christmas, then you can take other copies as the Lord leads you. Okay? Great little book. I've been through and looked at the whole thing this last month, and it'll help you. And it'll be good for you. So, I'm going to get out of the way. Going to let them close our service up today. Just a reminder to you in this song, and I hope it encourages you like it's encouraged me as they practiced and worked on it this week, and I'm looking forward to hearing it again today. So the Lord bless you today and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you. And let these be the words that send us out this week into the mission field that we have before us. Amen? Here we go.
Church, have you worshiped today? I know I have worshiped today, and I'm so grateful for this service that we've had today. It's what my heart needed. The Lord has really worked through this song this week that we have spent hours doing. It's out of my comfort zone, and God likes us to be out of our comfort zone. And I don't have eloquent words to speak, and I'm not a person of great faith like some of these men that we've heard speak today. But God has given my girls and I a little bit of talent that we can use for Him. And I want to do that. And I want you to worship with us as we sing this song today. I want us to join our hearts together and give all the glory to God.
Oh, shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, He's come to take my name. Oh, love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, always telling me to run. Oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon, I'm gonna take my giants down. There ain't no grave can I hold my body down. There ain't no grave can I hold my body down. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. Oh, if you walked out of the grave, I'm a walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm a walking too. Trumpets
I'll pray, and then you can make your way around through. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the great and grand opportunity that we've had to come together as a family, as your church. We thank you for, oh man, scripture and prayer and song and all the things that have come together in this hour. Ask you, Father, that we wouldn't just have a little emotional hiccup this morning, but Lord, that the challenges that we've been presented with, Lord God, might go heated, and that we might pursue, Lord God, after you in this week. Lord, make us hungry. Make us hungry for the things of your kingdom. Feed us. Enough. Keep us coming back for more. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing upon us as we leave here. God, encourage us to be back in our place at the next appointed time. We tell you with one heart, one mind, one soul, Lord, that we love you this morning. And we thank you for loving us first. For we pray that in Jesus' name and amen.